This.
You're with us for the morning show as we explore police union oversight in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's been 2 months since George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer who kneeled on his neck for 9 minutes. The officer charged with Floyd's murder had a long history of complaints against him, which were documented by the department. Some critics say police unions and the contracts they negotiate can shield officers from serious consequences when they're accused of misconduct. As Bridget Bowden reports, Wisconsin state law limits the power of police unions to share officer discipline more than in many parts of the country.
Like other unions, police unions negotiate with municipalities to determine things like wages, benefits, and how officers are disciplined when they do something wrong. Critics have said that some police union contracts negotiate away accountability for cops who may be abusing their power. Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the state's largest law enforcement union.
We represent officers working in Wisconsin's towns, villages, and cities, as well as most of the deputy sheriffs.
He says the contracts in Wisconsin have little to do with discipline.
We don't have contractual language that insulates officers from having to cooperate with those types of internal investigatory interviews.
The advocacy organization Campaign Zero says some police union contracts enable officers to raise grievances about discipline against them, in some cases using an outside arbitrator to reverse disciplinary decisions and reinstate officers who've committed misconduct. A Wisconsin Public Media review of contracts in 8 major Wisconsin cities found that Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, and Racine explicitly bar officers from filing grievances in an attempt to overturn disciplinary actions. The contracts in Beloit, Milwaukee, Waukesha, and Wausau do allow officers to file grievances in response to some discipline, which can escalate to arbitration. But in municipalities across the state, a different entity holds huge sway over police disciplinary procedures.
In Wisconsin, police discipline is in the purview of the Police and Fire Commission.
That's former Madison mayor and current arbitrator Sue Bauman. She says most police disciplinary proceedings in Wisconsin won't be decided by an arbitrator, but by a Police and Fire Commission. PFCs are required by state law for municipalities with 4,000 or more residents. The members are appointed by the mayor and are responsible for hiring and firing police chiefs, conducting disciplinary hearings, and doling out discipline for serious offenses, including firing. Just last week, the Milwaukee Commission issued a list of directives to Chief Alfonso Morales. The commission's executive director, Griselda Aldrete, made it clear that if he doesn't complete the list, he could lose his job.
Be it further resolved that failure to comply fully and promptly with these directives shall result in disciplinary action by the board, including discharge, suspension, or reduction.
Bauman says the PFC system is far from perfect. The disciplinary process can be slow, and state law allows officers awaiting discipline to continue to collect pay.
Pending the investigation and then pending the hearing before the Police and Fire Commission has led to things being drawn out so long that people probably forgot exactly what happened.
Don Taylor is a professor in the University of Wisconsin-Madison School for Workers and has done paid work for police and other unions. He says the nature of police work and the unique power police hold to wield deadly force sets police apart from other public workers.
I would assume that law enforcement officers are probably subject to internal investigations much more frequently than folks that work in a nursing home or teachers or other types of public employee and private sector employee.
Given the stakes, it's inevitable that police misconduct and how it's handled will continue to be an intensely debated topic in Wisconsin and beyond. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And the story was reported in collaboration with WisconText and PBS Wisconsin. We're exploring this more with our partners at WisconText. They've just published a detailed look at the legal structures governing police across our state. Will Cushman is here, associate editor of WisconText. Will, welcome back.
Thanks, Kate.
So you looked at police union contracts in 8 major cities around the state. What were you looking for?
Right. Yeah, we were looking at the contracts in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, Racine, Waukesha, Beloit, and Wausau. And we were looking for provisions in those contracts that have been cited elsewhere as being linked to increases in police abuses. So provisions that may shield officers from having to cooperate with internal investigations, may shield them from having to submit statements to interrogators, at least for a certain amount of time. And then other provisions that maybe could expunge their personnel records of disciplinary matters after a certain amount of time, things like that.
Well, it seemed as in Bridget's reporting there, there's not a simple template that's out there, that you found some variations from city to city.
That's correct. Yep. Well, a lot of the contracts language was kind of seemed like it was maybe from some sort of template. It wasn't so much so in some regards, particularly with rules regarding whether officers could file a grievance to contest their discipline. And all the grievance procedures and all 8 contracts that we looked at actually end in an arbitration procedure. And as Bridget mentioned in that story right there, half of the city's contracts that we looked at do allow for officers to grieve at least some forms of discipline. It kind of varied. For instance, in Wausau, the contract language was very explicit in allowing officers to file a grievance for any type of discipline that they receive. That was more explicit than any other contract that we had looked at. And then some other contracts, like in Madison and Green Bay, actually explicitly bar officers from being able to file a grievance for discipline.
Who has the power then to discipline police officers if the contract is shielding them from that?
That's a really good question. And it's kind of a complicated answer. So police chiefs are empowered to discipline officers kind of at a low level without input from.
Are you there, Will? I think we just got Will cut off. Can you hear us? I think we just got Will Cushman cut off there as we look at police union contracts, taking a look at the different contracts around the state as they get more oversight and more transparency questions. Will was looking at police union contracts in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, Racine, Waukesha, Beloit, and Wausau. And you can join in. Do you think police unions provide adequate protections for officers, or do they leave citizens vulnerable? What role should the police union have? We're at 800-642-1234. As we look at police union contracts around the state and what protections they provide, do you think police unions have too much power, or should all workers have the job protections that they come with that? What do you want to know about police unions here in Wisconsin and the laws governing them? Once again, that number is 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Going to go ahead and see if we can't get Will back on the line here. Stay with us. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're exploring police union contracts, protections, oversights here in Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In the wake of George Floyd's killing, police union contracts are under more scrutiny. Civilian oversight structures have sought greater accountability, transparency. But is it working? Are you an officer? How do you feel about your union contract and its provisions? policing is dangerous work. Nearly 1,000 civilians are killed by police each year. FBI reports 89 law enforcement officers were killed on the job last year. Are these protections imperative to doing the job? Join in 800-642-1234. Will Cushman from Wisconsin reported on police union contracts in 8 cities around the state. He stays with us. So, Will, are you there by phone?
I am. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, sure no. No, it's all that technology that we got all around us. So as you were saying there, you were explaining how, police discipline works in the layers of contracts, but also the role of police chiefs here.
Right, yeah. So police chiefs, I'm not sure where I was cut off before, but I was kind of explaining how police chiefs are empowered to hand out discipline at kind of like a lower level. But once it reaches a certain threshold, so it's like a number of days that an officer may be suspended or just discharged, that discipline has to go to a police and fire commission. And these commissions are the result of a very longstanding, over a century old state law. And they are appointees. They're appointed by mayors. In most cities, commissions are comprised by 5 board members. And they conduct disciplinary hearings and ultimately are responsible for meting out discipline if they feel it's warranted.
How common is it for them to act and release, some discipline or fire an officer?
You know, that's a really good question. I guess from my understanding, from the interviews we conducted and the folks we talked to, one of the kind of big criticisms of these PFCs, police and fire commissions, is that the disciplinary process can be really slow as they conduct hearings, as they conduct an investigation. Hear all sides of the matter. They're basically conducting like a mini trial. And while they are conducting these investigations and hearings, officers that are standing accused of misconduct and who are up for discipline, sometimes officers who are actually facing criminal charges are able to remain on the payroll. So they're continuing to receive pay.
Paid administrative leave.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one kind of criticism of this model. Other criticisms are that even though they do amount to a sort of civilian oversight board, which has been something that activists have called for across the country, really, in terms of being able to better police departments by community members. Activists in Wisconsin, and particularly in Madison, have called for even greater civilian community oversight of the police department, saying that the local PFC doesn't provide enough. It's a limited board. There's only 5 members. They're appointed by the mayor. They have 5-year terms. So activists say that is not enough community oversight as they see it.
We're talking with Will Cushman, a journalist for Wisconsin, and his latest story examines police union contracts, how they work in some of our state's larger cities. Do you think police unions have too much power, or should all workers have the job protections they do? What do you want to know about the contracts here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Charlotte, joining us from Brookfield this morning. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. He kind of answered some of my questions. I was just wondering who polices the police. And, can I change my question?
Sure, go ahead, Charlotte.
When the George Floyd thing was happening and the public was, screaming at the police, what could they have done different as the people? The people, could they have called someone that would have came out to stop them? You know what I mean?
How do you police the police, Charlotte asks. Will, insights there on how you go about this?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what is playing out in places like like Madison and in Milwaukee right now. As I just mentioned, there's calls for creating additional community oversight. I don't know if it would be like a board or some sort of group of community members who are empowered to assist in oversight of the police department, whether or not it's specifically in the realm of meeting out discipline for specific officers facing misconduct. I think that's still up in the air. And it's also up in the air whether or not these proposals would be legal under state law. So that's something that still needs to be worked out as well.
How much is transparency a role here? How, you know, you can get access to these police union contracts. You can read them and find out what is going on in them. But in terms of what happens with officers and how they are disciplined, how transparent is that for citizens to know about?
That's a really good question. And was one of the things that we were looking for when we were looking through these contract languages or contracts and the language in them, because we had seen in other places criticism about contract language shielding officers by allowing for their personnel records to be expunged of discipline that they had faced that had been recorded in them after a certain amount of time.
Oh, so that wouldn't follow them in the...
Right, yeah, okay. So it wouldn't follow them. Exactly, yep. And we found that the contracts in the 8 cities that we looked at in Wisconsin didn't really have anything kind of arising to that level. The contract in Green Bay did allow for any types of notes related to disciplinary investigations to be withheld from an officer's personnel record if the discipline, if it turned out that the officer facing the charges of misconduct didn't actually get disciplined. But the records of that investigation still would be maintained at the department, but just not in the individual officer's personnel record. That was kind of the most similar example that we could find in the contracts to that issue. And it didn't really arise to the level that that people, that activists elsewhere have said can cause some issues.
Let's bring in another call now. Phil is with us from Mount Horeb. Hi, Phil.
Hello. I am interested in balance in this issue, and I believe very firmly that the current passion and movement that is opposing our police forces, our law enforcement, is due to a couple of bad apples. We all know that the protesters, 99% of them, are peaceful and patriotic. But a couple of bad apples in the protesting group are creating this terrible image of the movement to improve our racial justice. In the same way...
And so, Phil, does this filter down then into union contracts?
It does, in that we need to have a public that supports our police force, not denigrates them, that says when a police officer is removed from the job, he hasn't been proven guilty. He has a family that he needs to support.
And Phil, I want to pause there because we are short on time. Do these contracts improve community policing in any way? I mean, are these contracts good for the force?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I talked to a couple labor relations experts who said that they really fear that the current environment could lead to further reductions in the rights for all public labor unions and union members. And I talked to a professor in Illinois who said I quote, it's got to be able, a police union has got to be able to bring democracy into the workplace. Police officers need due process, he said. They need rights in the workplace. They need better pay. But they also have to be seen as bettering society and as working for the people to remain in the public's good graces. So I think that that kind of sums it up from that perspective.
Will, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
Will Cushman is associate editor of WisConText. You can find his reporting at wiscontext.org. Coming up, we look at the practice of trauma-informed care as it applies to immigrant children. That's coming up after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.